All right. Shalom, everyone. Welcome to Soldiers for Christ Community International Community Church. And thank Pastor Ben for that one. And I hope you guys are ready for Bible study tonight. If you have not received the Bible study for tonight to follow with us, then please let us know. Yep, or if you let him know right now, he could send it to you right now.
Yep.
And so we're going to go over this Bible study because I am thoroughly waiting for the rapture. I'm so past evidence that it's like, okay, it's mind blowing now, God. I just need it to happen because you're giving me all this information. Other people are sending me information. I didn't know there was 8 times in the Bible that 120 is used in the Bible, not just Acts and not just, it's like eight times, which means new beginnings. So there's just a lot of information in the Bible. And the Lord was letting me know today too that sometimes he gives us simple stuff and we look over what the simple stuff that he gave us, and we make things harder than they need to be, okay? Yeah. So I want to, first of all, thank each and every one of you, and I want to thank Greg and Gwen. I think his name is Pearson, and they sent me he's quite an artist, so I want to show you some of his art. I think you will probably just love it. We got to put all of this up. Okay, this is the baby lamb standing on a Bible. Is Jesus Christ disappointment with Hollywood. People living for Oscars and not for God. This is all the things how we ignore God. And here's a lady going after the God of money and not Jesus. Wow. And here is, looks like Jesus tried to have church on during Corona week. This is what's gonna happen to me and Pastor Ben. Tried to have church during coronavirus. Had him locked up. Wow. And just look at this picture. Isn't that awesome?
Isn't that detail is incredible.
Yeah.
You know it's all hand done.
This is some great art. And this lady here holding the lamb.
With her heel on his foot.
Yes. Is that right?
Yeah,
did you see that? Ooh, with her on the snake's head, right? Wow, I didn't even notice that.
That's in the
sky. Wow. And then you got the Ezekiel in the cloud. Boy, that is... That is some artwork right there.
Bible open. Got this.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is really deep.
All right. And then you got, let me show this other portrait because I really love this portrait. See that portrait?
Oh, yeah.
I like this. None of you black Israelites better call me either. You're talking about, where's the black Jesus? He wasn't black. He was
in Detroit.
He was from Shemite. He's from Shem. And now this Jesus is gonna really get y'all mad because he got brown hair or gray hair. And I'm gonna show you my favorite, Pastor Ben, and it's a little one, so you have to kind of, this is how intimate Jesus is with us. See, just sitting down, having a conversation. Wow, Greg. I don't know if Greg or Gwen did the pictures. I don't know which one of them is the artist, but incredible artwork. Now I got to go get frames, yeah. And I got to get this stuff up because this is awesome. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Can I thank her right now?
Yeah, Pastor Ben, come on around here. He,
man,
someone.
Elena, I got your prayer request today, and I've already asked the prayer team to start praying for them. I sent that out. We'll be praying for your children. I want to let you know.
Praise God. I got to add that to my prayer list too then, Pastor Ben. Okay. I want to start off reading Luke chapter 21. But first of all, I want to pray in. Say hello to my wife at home. And yeah, this is Luke 24, verse 21. But let's pray in first. Abanu b'shamayim. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Father God, for watching over and keeping us. Praying, Father God, for all the people who are dealing with this crazy times that we're living in. Father God, I just pray that you would give them peaceful minds. Pray that you would get the Christians out of the TV and into the Word so that they can really concentrate on really what's about to happen. And I just pray, Father God, that they will hear this word from you tonight, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for giving me this word today. I was so thankful, Father God. So I just want to give you praise for that. And I just pray that everyone will hear it and that it will change lives and it will encourage those who are waiting on your son, Jesus Christ, to blow the trumpet so that we can exit out of here, Father God, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen. All right. So let's read Luke chapter 24. And let me see where I want to get started today, because this is a very interesting topic. Let me see. 21. See if it reads right. Okay. Let's start at 17 and just see how it goes, okay? He says, he asked them, he says, this is good. This is it. Wait a minute. Now watch this. Now I got to start from 13 because now I know what I'm reading. This is, they're walking on the road to Emmaus and Jesus comes and starts walking beside them, right? So, and I think this is how the rapture is going to be, because I think somebody's going to go, well, I just thought that it was going to be today. And then I was sitting at home and then you're going to be like, phew. So this is how it went anyway. It says that same day, two of them were going to the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And they talked and discussed these things with each other. And Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. So, these two apostles, they're walking and they're talking about the crucifixion. I really wish that, I was really hoping that he was going to be the Messiah and he was going to get us from under this Roman rulership. And, all the miracles he did, you just knew he had to be somebody special. And man, I just wish that he would have really been the Messiah. And they're just walking alongside. And then Jesus comes up and walks beside them. And he asks them, he says, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And they stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you only a visitor in Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened here in these days? He's like, he doesn't even know that the crucifixion took place. He doesn't even know about the healings, all of this stuff. He's like, who is this guy? He says, are you only a visitor here in Jerusalem and you do not know the things that have happened there in these days? And Jesus says, what things? Yes. About you, and they said, about Jesus of Nazareth. They replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all of the people, and all of the people. And it says, and the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is it? What is it more? And what more? He said, it's the third day since all these things took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us, and it says, and they went to the tomb earlier this morning, but didn't find his body. And it says, so anyway, they're saying, you know, now it's the third day. Some of the women went to the tomb. They said they didn't find his body, but we don't know. We just know that a lot of things have gone on, and their hopes are down because they feel like here it is the third day. Now, I wonder myself if they knew that on the third day he was supposed to rise. Mm-hmm. Because some of the women had went to the tomb and told him that his body wasn't there. So maybe they're hoping, maybe he did rise, but we just don't know what's going on, right? But he told us, you know, maybe it'd be on the third day. Now, Jesus did tell them that on the third day, yeah, he would rise, okay? He told the apostles on the third day that he would rise, okay? So these guys are walking and they're sad because what they expected had not happened, and they were wondering if it's going to even happen at all. And the Lord had me read this today and said, this is where I want you to start, because they're dejected, and I've told them simply it would be on the third day, and yet they're dejected on the third day, and it's the third day. Shouldn't they be excited saying, I'm waiting for Jesus today? It's the third day.
Yes.
But they were walking downcast. Oh, we were hoping that he'd be the one, but I guess he's not. And Ben, it's the third day. Oh, God. You know, we're in the 120th year. And some people are still like, oh, I hope he really comes this time. It's just, you know, it's just, you know, we were really hoping that this would be the year, so I'm hoping, and it just, and I know, believe me, I'm the one been doing this since 2004. I know the disappointment, but I also know what faith is.
Yes.
And faith is the fact that God says that he conceals things, but it is our responsibility as kings to search out a matter. I've loved searching out the matter. And in my house today, I was saying to myself, Lord, all this evidence, and I'm like, this need to happen, Lord. I'm sitting there, and I'm like, thinking about what I'm going to do. And the Lord is like, you know, I never told you this would be easy, did I?
Well.
And that reminded me of the day, this is what I want you to do, and it's going to be hard, right? So it's been hard, and but it's a simple understanding when God shows you, I told you it would be on the third day, and you didn't listen, and you got downcast because you didn't hear what I already told you, okay? So it's like Jesus Christ saying, it will be as it was in the days of Noah, okay? All of us know that God gave Noah 120 years and then the flood came. We knew that.
Yeah.
How many people said to themselves, well, maybe God's marking 120 years and he's gonna count down from that 120 years and we'll know the year where it's gonna happen. And then we find out in Psalms that God did count down 120 years, and here we are in the year. But still, we're not like, well, we know he's coming now. This is what Jesus said. It will be as it was in the days of Noah, and Noah was 120 years, and it's been 120 years in Psalms, and we're in the 120th year, and this Psalm of Ascent, and so I know we must be getting out of here.
Yes.
Okay? That is what the Lord would love to hear, right? My kids have confidence in me, right? They have confidence in my word. But let me tell you something. See this ring here? See this ring? You know why I wear this ring? I did not play on this championship team. And this is probably a different color from the ring, but it was given to me. And I wear it because University of Colorado, when I was there, my first year, we won one game. We played UCLA. They were beating us 56 to nothing at halftime. And I think the coach told them, don't score anymore, because the game ended up being 56-14. But I think the coach, Donahue, just felt bad for us and just let us, you know. But, and then the second year, we won, I think, two games. I think, I'm not sure, but we won two games. But, I mean, we were losing bad. People, when we lost, we did it big. I mean, we would lose 69-19, 52-3. We were just a bad team, right? And then, this is when I got to meet Trump. Trump had owned a professional football team. He came in and he wanted to hire our coach from the University of Colorado to go and coach in the USFL. So he's coming. He's recruiting our coach. He's offering him money to leave Colorado and come coach professional again, because Coach Chuck Fairbanks, who is the best coach that I ever had, was a teacher. But the best teacher I've had about to teach me about how to have faith in God was Bill McCartney, who also
Promise Keepers.
Yeah. Exactly. Bill McCartney came in there and looked at a team that had won three games in 2 years, right? And not just lost, we got humiliated for most of the games that we lost. He comes in there and let me tell you, we didn't have the talent to do anything. He comes in there and he starts talking about winning the national championship, beating the number one team in the nation, sent a threatening letter to the University of Nebraska.
No.
And told them that, and Nebraska was like number one in the country at the time. Your days of beating Colorado are over. The Lord has sent me here to do a great thing at the University of Colorado, and we are going to take over this conference. And he sends a letter to Nebraska, and he sends a letter to Oklahoma, and he's reading this letter to us, telling us we're going to beat these teams. I mean, the closest game we had played with Nebraska was 69-19, and I think they let up on us, right? That was the closest game. Oklahoma, we lost eight. They scored 82 points, right? So this guy's coming in here telling us we're going to win the national championship. We're going to beat Nebraska. We're going to do this. And he says, the Lord Jesus Christ has sent me here, and he sent me here to do a job, and I'm putting the whole league on notice that God has got the man in charge to do this, right? And I'm like, this, either he crazy or God really talked to him, right? And so he said, but he was a straight Christian. He said, if you're living with your girlfriend right now and you're on this team, either you move out or she move out. There'll be no shacking up. If you use any profanity in this locker room, you better count the letters of the word you use, because that's how many miles you're going to run in the morning. And he really was like, we're going to do this God's way, and we're going to win a national championship. And we're like, he's either crazy or he really talked to God, right? So we played that year and we won four games. And we played very good football. The next couple of years, he didn't do too good. After I left, in 83. The next year, he didn't do that good. The next year, he didn't do that good. They were thinking about firing. Then the next year, he started doing really good. And they made a bowl game. And then the next year, and then exactly 7 years after I left, and that's why I wear this ring, because it's God's number. 7 years after I left, University of Colorado won the national championship, 7 years after I left the school. And I said, God did exactly what he told him he was going to do, right? And this is what I'm trying to tell you. If God calls you to do something, you have to do it and not worry about who thinks you're crazy, okay? And I'm trying to explain to you guys, I don't have another mission. God, and a lot has happened in the world that should make you say, Pastor Sandy might be a little crazy, but a lot of things he was talking about in 2004 are happening now. And him and Pastor Ben were talking about this stuff before we had YouTube.
Yes.
And so understand this. I have no other mission other than to have you prepared to leave here and go into the kingdom of God by rapture. Yes. Okay? So I don't want to be like these guys walking around still saying we hope that it would be. No, I'm looking forward to the fact that it's going to happen because Jesus said it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay? So now, this is the simplicity of this, okay? Let's go, if you have your page, let's go to Psalms chapter 90, verse 4. I want us to read this verse. And if you have your notes, it's Psalms 90, verse 4, and this is what it says. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it passed, and as a watch in the night. So Psalms is saying, 90 verse 4 is saying, 1,000 years for God is just like a day that has just passed. You understand?
Yes.
2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, it says this, but beloved, be not ignorant of this thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years is as one day, okay? Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. So God is letting us know how he's counting time, okay?
Amen.
Now, it says, I want to ask you the question. What is the first feast day that Yahweh, Elohim, God, taught the people to keep? What is the first feast day? Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Shabbat of rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is a Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So the first feast day that the God taught the Hebrews to keep was the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Now, he says this is a holy convocation. What is the convocation? It's a mikra. It is a dress rehearsal. He's saying, this is a holy dress rehearsal that you shall keep in all your generations, right? So when the Jews keep the Sabbath, what are they doing? They're rehearsing for a future day when the Sabbath is going to become real, okay? Now, when you read that scripture, we understand that a day unto the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. Now, before we go to the board, I want us to go to Revelation chapter 20. And we are going to be in verse 1. And I'm going to read a few. I'm not going to read this whole thing, but I want you guys to understand what's going on here. Now, we know that a day unto the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day, okay? And it says, and I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, okay? Now, Why is God binding up Satan for 1,000 years? The Sabbath is about to come. Remember, for 6 days he's worked, but on the Sabbath day, he's going to take a Sabbath. So in order for him to take a Sabbath, the first thing he's going to do is lock Satan up and bound him for 1,000 years. Now this is incredible, because it says he threw him into the abyss and locked it, sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended.
Yeah.
And then he says, at that time, he must be set free for a short time.
Yeah.
So he really wasn't done destroying him. He's just locking him away because I don't feel like working right now. It's my day off, right? So it's God's Sabbath day, and he's going to take a Sabbath day rest. Now, I want us to go to the board so we understand Sabbath, okay? And we also, I want us to understand when the scripture says that after the sixth day, God did this, okay? Or on the third day, this will happen, okay? Remember, the Bible has an author. The author is telling the story according to his principles, because to him, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want you to miss out on that. That's why in Peter, he says, do not forget this one thing. A day to me is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So here we have this board I put up here. Okay, now watch this. Day one is going to start from 1 to 1,000, okay? When this whole 1,000 years is over with, God will have dealt with man for one day.
Amen.
He told Adam, if you eat of this fruit, you will die. In this day, you will die. Adam ate the fruit. Eve ate the fruit. Look who died when he was 930 years old. He died on the first day. To God, now to you, he lived for 930 years, but to God, he died on the first day. Now, you go from the 1,001 to 2,000, and now you got the second day. 2,001 to 3,000, now you're on the third day. 3,001 to 4,000, fourth day. Jesus is born 3,983rd year of mankind. So Jesus comes into the world on the fourth day, okay? Now, 4,001 to 5,000, the fifth day when you get to the 5,000. 5,001 to 6,000, that's the sixth day. This 6,000th year is 2017, okay? How do we get to 2017? Because we're counting from Jesus, right? When Jesus is born, now it's AD 1, right? So now we have to count from AD 1 from 3,983. So we have to add that 17 years because he's born 17 years before the 4,000. Now watch this. From the time Jesus is born till 2017, brings us to 6,000 years. That's in 2017, okay? So, are we past the sixth day? The answer is yes. How many years are we past the sixth day? We are 3 days past the sixth day. It is 2020. The 6,000th year was 2017. How do we know? Because all the jubilees have been marked. 1917, Balfour Accord, 1967, Six Day War, Jerusalem, 2017, President Trump announces Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. All the jubilees have been kept. So, 6,000 years, we land at 2017. Now we're past the sixth day, okay? We are 3 years past the 6,000th year. Now, that's if you're counting from Adam. That means we're past the sixth day. If you're counting from Jesus, Jesus is AD 1. AD 1 to 1,000 is one day. He had been gone. From 1,000 to 2,000, he was gone 2 days, okay? And we'll say 2 days because we know we're count how we're counting. So Jesus is gone for 2,000 years, but we're past the 2,000 mark. Why? Because at 2017, we were on 2 days past Jesus, okay? Because he was born here and we had to add 17 days. So we're 3 years past Jesus being gone, 2,000 years. We're on the third year. We're on the day three of Jesus Christ leaving, and we're past day six, and we're past day six from Adam, and we're past day three from Jesus, okay? And when is Jesus saying that everything is going to happen? On the third day, okay? So are we on the third day? It's been past 2,000 years since Jesus left. So now we're early morning on the third day. Because look, when you get to the next, when you get here, this is day one ends. When you get to 1,001, you're on a new day. So now we're 3 days past from the time of Jesus. We're early morning on the third day. We're 6 days past from Adam to the 6,000th year, so we're after the sixth day.
Amen.
Okay? So now, let's go to Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to read this. I'm going to go there, get my glasses. So now, go to Matthew chapter 17. And I probably have it already on my sheet, and I do. Thank you, Pastor Ben. Now listen what it says. After the sixth day, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Just then there appeared to be before them Moses and Elijah, who I think will be the two witnesses, right? With Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Now, why does he want to put up three booths? Because he knows that when Jesus returns, it is during the Feast of Tabernacles. That means it's the Week of Tabernacles. Why is he asking to put up booths? He's thinking, oh my goodness, it's tabernacle and Jesus has just transformed this figure. And now that means that this is the end. We're just going straight into glory.
Put your mic on.
Yeah, I just dropped it. Okay. Now he thinks, wow, we're going straight into glory. And Jesus is like, no. Yeah. But what is he saying to them? What is the prophecy? The prophecy is this. It says, after the third day. You hear that? I mean, after the sixth day. So Jesus, the prophecy is this happens, this going into glory happens when? After the sixth day. After the sixth, nobody ever stops to go after the sixth day from what? But the Bible has an author. He's telling you this is what's going to happen after on the fourth day. What's going to happen on the fourth day? A lamb's going to come into the world because the lamb has to be killed on the fourth day. Okay? and that's going to happen, but that can't happen on the fourth real man day. That has to wait until the 4,000th year. Yeah. So Jesus comes into the world in the 4,000th year because that lamb is going to die. Now you got him saying here, after the sixth day, he took these two disciples. Now remember, one of these disciples has never died, right. Elijah. Right. And one of these disciples, God says he died, but he's with me in glory. Okay? And that's Moses. So they're representing two different types of people that are going to see God in his glory after the sixth day. Okay? We are after the sixth day. Now, let's continue. If we go to the book of John, chapter 2. Yeah, St. John, chapter 2. And here's what it says. It says, verse 1. On the third day, a wedding took place in Canaan, in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. So she asked Jesus to now do this miracle, okay? Now, they fill up the pots, and they say 20 or 30 gallons, but if it's six pots and it's 20, we got, what, 120, right? But that's beyond the point. The point I'm trying to make is there's a wedding on the third day.
Right.
Where else does it tell us that there's going to be a wedding on the third day? Exodus chapter 19. What does that say? Be ready for today and tomorrow. Why? This is the wedding that God says to the people. In verse 10, it says, and the Lord said to Moses, go to the people, consecrate them today and tomorrow, have them wash their clothes and be ready for the third day. Because on that day, the Lord will come down from Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people, put limits around. So God is saying, I'm going to come down on the third day and marry you. Okay? Why? Because this wedding keeps happening. All the weddings in the Bible keep happening when? On the third day. Esther came into and put forth, and the king put forth the staff on the third day, and she came into the presence of the king in the palace on the third day. Okay? So God keeps telling us this is going to happen on the third day. Jesus says this is going to happen just as it did in the days of Noah on the 120th year. Okay? So it's not like God's not telling us, but it's like you tell me something simple and I'm going to complicate it for you. And that's what we've been doing. We've been complicating a simple thing. All we have to do is believe what the Lord has told us and wait on our day to leave. Yeah. Okay. Now, we say, how are we the, okay, now watch this. 2017 was the 6,000th year. And we're just like the apostles in 2017. Because when 2017 was over, I was just like one of these apostles. I was like, past 2017, I was hoping that he would be the Messiah and get us from under the Roman rulership. And 2017 passed, and I forgot what God told me. It will be as it was in the days of Noah, okay? We're not even at the 120th year from the beginning of the count, but because I don't understand what Jesus has told me, I'm getting worried and nervous about, well, is it ever going to happen? Why did you call me? Well, you know. So I want us to look at... I want us to look at Psalms chapter 117, okay? Now,
Psalms
117. It's the 6,000th year. And it's 2,000 years past Jesus, and it's 6,000 years past Adam, okay? So, after the sixth day, something happens. After the on the third day, something happens. God has told us twice. It's going to be what? Matthew chapter 17 says what? It happened after the sixth day. Okay? We're after the sixth day. Jesus tells us on the third day. We're on the third day since Jesus. So we want to make sure that we're listening so we don't lose heart. Praise God.
Amen.
Okay. 2017 was a miraculous, wonderful, crazy year. I think all of us would agree. We had the rapture, the Revelation 12 sign in the sky. We had 2017 is the middle of the Bible. And the incredible thing about 2017 is this, and this is crazy to me. 2017 has two verses. It is the center chapter of the Bible. It has two verses. And it says there here, it says in Hebrew, Hallel et Yahweh kol goim, okay? Shabbahu kol amim. So he's saying, praise the Lord, all you Gentile nations, okay? Goim is Gentile nation, never referred to as the nation of Israel, okay? So it says, praise the Lord, all you Gentile nations, extol him, all you people. Bless him, all you people, right? Second verse, for great is his love toward us. Who? The Gentile nations. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Now, if you have your notes, I want you to see that if you have the first verse and the second verse, if you count all the Hebrew letters, there's 62 of them, okay? There's 62 letters. Now, I want you to see this. Here comes the first rapture verse of the scripture. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. It says here, I got it written down. That's incredible. It says here, while I was doing my Hebrew study, I had it written down. And it says, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Okay? So, he starts this verse, this story, in chapter 6. Now, I'm going to read this, and I'm going to read it in Hebrew, okay? Because there's a word in here, which is the word ben, which means in between, okay? And it says, Ve'yomer Elohim, yihi rakia betok hamayim, ve'yihi mavdel ben mayim lemayim, okay? So he uses the word to divide the word, the waters, between the waters, okay? He uses the word ben, which means between. I'm dividing the waters. Psalms 117 divides the word of God. The word of God is the water that comes from above to water us so that we can understand God by his word. So God divides the water of his word in Psalms 117. The word ben in the Hebrew, I'm going to go over here for 1 second, Pastor Ben. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Let me make sure I get a... Okay. Now watch this. And this is a Safit Nun. So this is 10. This is 40. No, it's 50. It's a noon. This is 50. And this is 2. So divide has is the numerical value of what? 62. How many letters are in the the very chapter that divides the Bible? 62 letters. Okay? So someone says, well, how do you feel like that's a rapture verse? It leads you straight to Psalms 117 that divides the Bible into half. It is the waters being divided. So now someone says, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, let's read Revelation 17, verse 15. And it says, the angel said to me, the waters you saw where the prostitute sits are people, multitudes, nations, and languages. So the waters that's being divided, and God is saying, let's put half, bring half of the waters above the firmament and half of the waters below the firmament. And he says, this is where I'm going to divide. Now, when you divide the waters, what has happened in the Bible? There is a Passover going on. So the whole purpose of this symbol of dividing the waters, using a word, bet, yod, nun, which is 62, ben, I'm dividing the waters, and then having that same numerical value be the same number of letters in the script in the chapter that divides the Bible. And then God says, oh, and by the way, the water that's being divided there is people, nations, languages, and what? I'm taking half of them above the firmament. I'm leaving the other half below the firmament. Okay? So now we're going, oh, okay. So now we're seeing that Pastor Sandy's crazy. He's just finding rapture everywhere. So now we look at Psalms 117, and we go, it seems to be a rapture verse that's saying that's the end of the Gentile church. We look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, and we realize that the five books that tell you about the gospel and the saving of the Gentile world through Jesus Christ has 117 chapters. So the end of the Gentile story is Acts. The end of the gospel is Acts, and it has what? 117 chapters. So in 2017, we're going, okay, that's just more evidence, right? We know we're in the 6,000th year. We know that the Gospels plus Acts has 117. We know that Psalms 117 divides the scripture. We know that God says he's going to bring half the waters above the water, above the sky, and leave half underneath. And so now we're like, okay, we're on a roll. Then we get to Song of Songs. Let's go to Song of Songs. Did I mark out Song of Songs? Song of Songs, and we realize that the Song of Songs has 117 verses. And we go, oh my goodness, what is the Song of Song about? The marriage of a Gentile bride to a Jewish man who comes through and sweeps her up in a chariot. I'm trying to get to the, because I didn't mark it. And oh my goodness. Yes. Watch this. Because what I'm trying to explain to you guys is this. 2017 was so heavy on everyone, and all of the blue moons and the red moons and all of this stuff was happening, it was not for no reason. The reason it was happening because we had reached the 6,000th year. And that 6,000th year was telling us what? The one who agreed to work for you for marriage has completed his work time. The wedding can now be planned. When is the wedding going to be? It's got to be on the third day. Okay, so here, we're in, let's see. Oh, here it is. Watch this. We're in chapter 6, and I'm going to read verse 10.
Genesis 1:6?
No, this is Song of Songs. It's Song of Songs. I keep saying Song of Solomon, but it's Song of Songs. So Song of Solomon. It says, "Who is this that appears like the dawn? Fair as the moon, bright as the sun, majestic as the stars in possession." In possession. And it says, then that's Israel speaking. And then the church speaks. The church says, "I went down to the grove of the nut trees to look at the new growth in the valley, to see if the vine had budded, or the pomegranates were in bloom. Before I realized it, my desire," which is another name for Jesus, "set me among the royal chariots of my people." Then Israel speaks again. Come back, Shulamite," which is a name of a Gentile lady who was there to watch after the king. "Come back, Shulamite, come back that we may gaze upon you." Then Jesus speaks up. "Why would you gaze on the Shulamite as on the dance of Mihamin?" And so he says, now why are you wanting to admire the Gentile church and to gaze upon them now that I've swooped down and taken them up in a chariot? Why do you miss them so much and you want to look at their beauty so much? Go ahead and do what you did at Mihamin. Make the Antichrist your Christ. And so now they're going to go and they're going to make a horrible person, Ishbosheth, into their Messiah to rule over them. Okay? So the Song of Song is talking about this rapture, and it has 117 verses. Okay. So now we get to there and we go, oh my goodness. What is going on? Everything in 117. It was the 6,000th year. And then in December, Trump came forth and said, Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. And he confirmed that it was the 120th Jubilee. So we're just fired up. Everybody, it's time to go home.
Yeah.
Now, I want us to understand this. Let's go to Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38. And we're going to be in verse 20. Because I want you to see this portion, and then we're going to move away real fast. It says, now we know the story of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was sick. Hezekiah was about to die. Isaiah, God said, "Isaiah, go back and tell him, I've seen his tears, I've seen him cry out. I'm going to give him 15 more years of life, which is the Samech, which is leaked to the 120th. So now your judgment is not going to come till the 120th or the 15th year," right? He says this because he's so happy about what has happened. He says this in 20, "The Lord will save me, and we will sing with string instruments all the days of our lives in the temple of the Lord." Okay? So now, what's he talking about? He's going to sing with string instruments. Hezekiah writes 15 songs, or he writes 13, and then he borrows two from, I think, David and Solomon. But he has these 15 songs, and he's going to sing these 15 songs because God has made him a promise. And what promise has God made him? We have to go to 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 4 through 8. God doesn't just say, "I'm going to save you." He says this. 4 through 8, chapter 24 through 8. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. Go back to Hezekiah, the leader of my people. This is what the Lord, the God of your father David says. I have heard your prayers and seen your tears. I will heal you on the third day. And you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hands of Assyria. I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David. Then Isaiah said, prepare poultice. I guess that's a fig leaves. I mean, a fig, and it says of figs. And it says, they did so and applied them to the boils, and he recovered. Hezekiah asked Isaiah, what will be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I will go up to the temple of the Lord on the third day? Okay, he's promised on the third day he's promising 15 years, which we should know is the Semek. This is, I'm giving you the same thing that says change happens in this 15 years. Now he says, and on that 15 years, you're going to go up, okay? You're going to go up to the temple of God. Now, Hezekiah, after that, every year, they would go up to the temple during the Feast of Tabernacles. What does tabernacle mean? To come and live with somebody, right? So he's going up to tabernacle with God. You understand? So he has these 15 songs, and they're called the Psalms of Ascent. They build the temple, and they put 15 steps on the temple so they could go up the temple stairs and visit with the Lord and praise his name. And so they sing these 15 songs, and they're called the Psalms of Ascent. And it's on the 15th year, the 120, they're going up because they're going to sing the Psalms of Ascent. Now I just want to read Psalms 120 real fast, because Pastor Ben be like, you out of time, brother. I got a family. So the Psalm, then we get to Psalms 120, and watch this. And this is, I had to ask God, are you prophesying about this year? Or is this really what's going on right now? Watch. Okay, it says Psalms 120. That's year 2020. Mm-hmm. It says the Psalm of Ascent. In Hebrew, Mi'alah, the Psalm of going up. It says, I called on the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. Now, I was thinking maybe this is Israel crying out, but that could be all of us now, because they're telling us, oh, there's a pandemic and nobody can work, and we got to keep everything locked up, and we're going to get all these lies are coming forth, right? Keeping people away from having jobs, arresting people for cutting people's hair, arresting mothers for having their kids in the park, running after people while they're jogging on the beach. We're supposed to believe that it's because thousands of people are dying every day, in which if people are dying, you don't need mannequins. You don't have to fake it if people are really dying. But now they've done, and then if people are dying, you don't have to add COVID-19 to somebody who just died of diabetes. And that's what the doctors said they're doing. They're making us put COVID on everything. So they're trying to pump up these numbers. And this scripture in Psalms in 20, I'm saying, are you talking about us, Lord? Because you're saying, save me, O Lord, from lying lips and deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides, O deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrow, burning coals of broom trees. And then Israel, woe to me, I dwell in Meshech, And it says that I am among the tenth of Kedar. So he says, I'm dwelling in darkness, in trouble, right? Those two names. It says, too long I have lived among those who hate me. Is that Israel? Yeah. Amen. And it says, I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. So he's crying out and asking God to help us against our enemies in what year? 2020. Israel needs to be ready to protect themselves in 2020, because when the church leaves, I guarantee you the Antichrist is going to run straight to Israel. And they're going to lie and say you did something and find a way to attack you. But don't you worry, because the hand of God says he's going to watch over his people. And whoever attacks you, it will be the last time anybody attacks you for at least 3.5 years. OK, so that first initial one, when the church leaves, God is going to protect Israel. This is what's going to happen. The church is going to leave in the 120th year. This is one. Why is it going to happen? Listen, for 6 years, the Holocaust went on. In 1945, everybody celebrated because the Holocaust was over. Nobody got to go back to Israel. You know why? They were stopping every boat from going to Israel.
Yeah.
Boat after boat, they were stopping them. You are not getting out of this country. First, they're killing them because they don't want them there. And now they're trying to get out and they won't want to let them leave. So they have to wait until after 1945, when the war was over, they have to wait to 1946. They wouldn't let them out. 1947, the UN said, we're going to give them back the land. They still wouldn't let them out. 1948, they moved back into the land and declared Israel is now a nation. When did it happen? 3 years after the Holocaust, because God is consistent. Salvation happens after the third year, okay? We don't have to read all of the things about the weddings on the third day, but we need to know and understand that this has all been planned out from the 1,000 years. We're past the sixth day. So Matthew 17 tells us after the sixth day, this is when we see the glory of God. Then he says, on the third day, there's a wedding. We're 3 days after Jesus. We're 6 days after Adam. So this is the time. And we are what Jesus says. We are as it was in the days of Noah. So praise God. We'll see you guys for Hebrew class tomorrow morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah.